Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling, to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling, of your heartstrings that play soft and low.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Ty Bubba Horowitz with you. And what's happening on this Friday the 13th with a triskaidekaphobia or something? Who knows what it is? But anyways, here we are, and earnings season has begun. And no surprises. I think that, you know, we continue to over-anticipate what earnings are going to be. I think they've well priced in the market. The markets are, as they say, priced to perfection. But of course, we'll continue to see how it's going to play out as we move forward. But again, I don't see the 16, 17 to 18 times that everybody's expecting. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. In the meantime, the markets yesterday were had a big rally, and we continue to be driven by the fear in the Middle East for oil, and you know, we're to the continued trade war talks, all which is really pretty much priced out into markets. I think this is one of the things that we have to always recognize, is markets themselves have a way to price in information, as the information is always available. And I think that we, many of us, just try to act too late after the information is already out. You know, it's like the horse is already out of the barn. But, you know, as we take a look at some of the individual things, you look at oil. You know, somebody had emailed me this morning and said, did anybody ever take you up on your bet that oil would never see 70 again? And nobody did take me up, but I'm still willing to take that bet. I mean, it'd be close, but, you know, if you look at it from the perspective, I mean, we're in the height of fear in oil. We're in the height of issues, and we're at, you know, 3-year highs, but we're in, you know, backwardation, and oil itself is, again, you know, if it was really going to explode, wouldn't it have exploded already? And, you know, I don't see, you know, a much, much higher price. I mean, could it go to 70? Yeah, it could. But I would take the bet now that it sees, you know, under 60 before over 70. You know, again, that's just the way that I read it. I don't see, you know, a big move here. You know, you have a market that's being driven totally by an emotion, the emotion of fear of what's with Syria, what we're going to do, how we're going to handle it. And, you know, at the end of the day, hey, maybe it'll keep going. You know, we've seen this before. We saw it in, you know, 2014. And you know, when you get these fear markets, they can go farther than you think they can. So I'm not going to say it's impossible. I just would be, it'll be painful for me because I'll be shorted. but, you know, I mean, you know, Thursday was interesting. It was down. It was actually under pressure and then came all the way back. And of course, today it was higher. But we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. We'll see what the president decides to do with Syria, and if he's going to go after him at all, or how he's going to handle it. You know, I don't see any real reason to believe that it will spike much higher. I think you'll continue to see, you know, a market that is just you know, a little bit stretched to the upside to begin with, one that, you know, is going to fail. And I think that it someday, you know, again, this is not a prediction for now, nor would I trade off of this information, but I think oil at someday will be back, you know, under 20. But of course, that's waiting into waiting until the big oil gets a new gig, kind of like the big tobacco. So, you know, again, this is more driven, you know, kind of like the trade war talk and things. I mean, these things are more driven by, you know, the lobbyists and the politicians versus the actual facts. You know, unfortunately, sometimes we let the facts, you know, get in the way of a good story. And, you know, I don't see anything to worry about here, you know, other than, you know, listening to the lobbyists whine, because, again, that's where they scam all their money out of. And to me, that's just, you know, another thought and another part of the process that, you know, we continue to watch and have to suffer through. You know, this is part of the lobbying problem, because it's all about the money. I mean, you know, let's face the facts. It's about the money. It's about nothing else but the money. They don't give a rat's potato about any of us. They care about how much they can scam out of it. And so, you know, to me, it just comes back to the same simple thing. It's about the money and how much they can get it. And that's what they're making the big deals about, because they all represent big corporates that, you know, that benefit from the way things are. And, you know, I always look at it from a standpoint that, well, you know, if the way things are good, then we shouldn't be concerned about it. But I don't know about you, but I don't think the way things are today are good. I don't think the way things are today, you know, from a governing standpoint, I don't think they're any good. Again, that's my opinion. It doesn't make my opinion right, but it is my opinion. And I think that we could be doing a hell of a lot better job if we, you know, actually decided to really take the interests of the American people to heart and actually decided that, you know, the citizens were more important than the lobbyists and the big corporations that are benefiting from this. You know, as I said the other day, farmers and producers, they've been under pressure for years. I mean, this has nothing to do with the trade wars today. So, you know, why are we, you know, making the ordeal? Well, that's because it will have a direct effect on what the lobbyists bring to their clients. And, of course, that's what I think. That's one of the major things I think is wrong with this country, is the lobbyists and what they do and the power that they wield. I think that becomes a much bigger issue over time. And I think that's where we really need to, as they say, nip it in the bud. And, you know, if we can ever get that under control, I think that we'd all be a hell of a lot better than we are right now. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, don't forget to download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm, the only network you need. We've got 24-hour day programming there for you. Of course, you've also got the Sporting Edge and Crypto Investor X as well on the network now. And, of course, don't forget to get Bubba's Daily Update, which is just a 3 to 5 minute video I do every day, which gives you my opinion of what happened that day, what I expect to happen tomorrow. It's like kind of getting tomorrow's newspaper today. And all you have to do is go to bubbatrading.com, and you can just fill out the little box. There's no payment required, no credit card. Just sign up for it, and every day you'll get it delivered to your inbox. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the one, the only, the unbelievably talented Jane King, Lila Max Media, and the Ka-Ching Report. And Jane King, well, I don't know what's happened with the trade wars, with Syria, with everything that's going on. Tell me, give me some help here.
Well, I wish I knew. It's day by day, if not hour by hour, on Wall Street these days. I spent half the week in Las Vegas. I was there for a broadcasting convention, so a lot of meetings. So I feel like I haven't been quite as on top of this as I normally am, but I did get the chance to watch the entire Mark Zuckerberg testimony on the plane on the way back on Wednesday, and that was very enlightening.
What did you think?
Well, I think... I was actually kind of shocked by how little technical knowledge our lawmakers have. There was one representative who called him Mr. Zuckerman. I was like, kidding me? You don't even know the guy's last name. There was somebody who didn't know the difference between Android and iOS. Another guy said instead of streamlining. I mean, I was like, wow, this is really interesting and a little disconcerting. I mean, this is... the future, and these guys are creating policy, and they didn't even know some basic stuff.
Well, they don't know much to begin with, so that's just another story. Right? I mean, you know, it's funny because I got really irritated this week from listening to some of the pundits. I won't name names yet, but I may someday. But everybody's trying to create this such dramatic fear from the potential trade wars. And in the meantime, I think you and I both agree that the markets are the all-time scorekeeper. Right.
Uh-huh.
I mean, money is the scorekeeper, I think, in my opinion.
That's right. I mean, and you've got like, how many millions of people, betting their money on and opinions. And so, I mean, it's like the most objective thing out there, really.
So grains are near contract highs. So Every day I hear, the soybean farmers are so much trouble. And I go, they're almost at contract highs. So how much trouble are they really in with this whole trade war talk? And of course, if you go back in history, and you're from a farm family, so you know this. But if you go back, I mean, the farmers have had troubles long before the trade war talk ever came up. I mean, they've been basically tortured with this pricing, this either what affordable food or whatever it is for 20 years. So what do you think of all that?
Well, you know the market. I mean, and the saying, it makes fools out of the largest amount of people possible. So that's exactly what it's doing. There's dry weather, I think in Argentina, South America. So that's one of the things helping. Funny how it all works, right? I mean, when it comes to at least the farm commodities, weather is really the most important thing. I mean, it's, you got a drought, forget everything else. But I mean, it's, the president this week said, look, we're going to, expand some selling opportunities for ethanol. That's going to help the farmers. But the market seems to be helping them okay right now. Who knows if that'll happen? I do think there's kind of a feeling that something's going to be worked out with China. They blinked a little bit this week, then kind of backtracked. And then, so who knows? But I think that they know that these policies that they're doing are not fair. I mean, they were created a long time ago. China's the world's second largest economy. They need to be adjusted. And I think China, I mean, they know this, and they're just trying to get the best deal they can. So it's going to be redone. It's going to be a fair trade deal in the end, but it's not going to be easy.
And I agree with that. And what do you think of the talk of going back into TPP again now? What's your take on that?
Well, interesting. I mean, President Trump has never been really a protectionist or anti-trade. I mean, people would paint him that way during the election, and I was like, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is these trade deals need to be renegotiated. He's not saying let's ditch them altogether. He wants them fair. He wants to protect the American worker, the American economy. So he just wants to redo them. And so I think if TPP can be rewritten in such a way where it expands markets for U.S., but doesn't, give unfair advantage to other countries, I think he would do it. So, he's never been anti-trade. He's just been pro-fair trade.
I agree. And shouldn't we all be? I mean, we're not lobbyists.
Absolutely.
That are trying to line our pocket, because of the deals that we make.
It's difficult to understand. I mean, one thing that he suffered from through the whole election was people kind of, he would say things and they just skipped over the nuance. and would be like, oh, he's protectionist. He's anti-trade. He's, you know, and that's like, that's not what he's saying. Like, he's not anti-immigrant, for example. He just wants it legal. He wants to make it legal, and he wants to have it make sense. I mean, so I don't, like, you know, again, I mean, we talked about this before. These pundits are supposedly the smartest, highly educated people on the planet, but they can't get these nuanced things about policy.
If he was anti-immigrant, look who he married every time.
Well, right. I mean, it's, and I think most people feel that way. Most people are like, we just want some, it's anarchy the way it is right now. There's no consistency. Nobody knows the rules. You know, I had a friend who married an Irish guy. And he had trouble getting an American citizenship because when he was like a teenager, he pulled a candy bar. And, you know, I wrote a paper for him. Some other people wrote support of him. You know, he had his own business. He had children. I mean, all this stuff. And I'm just like, this is so screwed up.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that's the kind of stuff that needs, you know, that needs to be straightened out.
And I know we didn't talk last week with the jobs number. What did you think of the jobs number? And I'm going to tell you my concern after I hear your opinion of the jobs number.
I mean, it was weaker than expected. Of course, you know, in the convoluted world of Wall Street, that's good news because then the Fed won't raise interest rates as aggressively. I would have liked to have seen a better number. I feel like the economy is starting to kick along here. We had some horrible weather in March. You know, maybe that has something to do with it. I mean, the Northeast, I mean, we're hit with a nor'easter almost once a week during the month of March. Maybe that had something to do with it. So, like these things, you always got to look at the revisions, and you have to look at like 3 months in a row before you really start to kind of have a trend or have an opinion about it.
Now, my biggest concern, and I've been bitching about this all week, is the wage growth. You know, the average wage growth was 8 cents an hour, which turns out to be $160 a year. I mean,
yeah, didn't buy much. Yeah.
Where are we going with this? You know, we may have a lot of jobs, but we don't have a lot of good jobs. And I think that to me remains the major issue, is the ability to create good, solid jobs where people can actually work and save and not be, you know, on the hook for insurance and all these other things. I mean, you're seeing what's going on with a lot of these pensions now to tie in with this. You know, Harvey, Illinois, you know, they fired half their police department, fire department because they've absconded with the pensions. And one of the things they bought was makeup. I mean, come on, are you kidding me?
I know. I saw that. Yeah. Well, I mean, here we go. I mean, it's people in you know, public positions that are just immature and irresponsible. I mean, you know, who that guy in California was paying himself $800,000 a year to run like a small city. I mean, it's ridiculous. I think what we're working on right now in the U.S., and this is partly, you know, the trade deals and, you know, and things like that, is to make things fairer. I mean, to make our economy dynamic again. I mean, it's not so kind of, you know, it's not unfair for other countries. There's not, you know, illegal immigrants coming in, depressing wages. I mean, I think, you know, Trump is just trying to clean up these messes that have been decades in the making. And once that all gets going, and, you know, education, and I know you and I both feel strongly about that, that's another element to this. But once all that kind of starts to get fixed, we're going to start seeing the economy dynamic again. And that'll mean regular wage growth, I hope.
Well, let's hope so. I mean, you know, again, we both want everything to work smoothly instead of the way that it works right now. And I think that, you know, we don't have the right people in the right jobs. And I think that's one of the things that Trump is trying to do. But of course, you have continued, you know, you have the richest woman in Congress fighting about the most ridiculous nonsense in Nancy Pelosi. But what do you see? Do you see this problem resolving? I mean, Paul Ryan is out. We're losing a lot of Republicans. You know, 42 seats are going to open up. So that could create some issues. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, I mean, it's what I don't want to see is a bunch of people be elected that want to go back to where we were. What I want to see, people come in office that want to change, that are on board. And so, you know, I thought about, you know, the Paul Ryan stuff and, you know, all the others. And I was like, well, you know, Todd, you and I have talked about this. I was like, we want to see new, fresh blood in office. We don't want people to come in there and be there for 50, 60, 70 years in some cases. And, you know, I mean, if you have people that come in and, you know, with fresh ideas and they leave after a few terms, I think that's a good thing. So, but I just, again, I hope that people come in office that really want to make some changes.
Jane King, Lila Max Media, The Ka-Ching Report. As always, I thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Todd.
And that was our friend Jane King. And of course, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we want to remind you to download our show every single day at libertytalk.fm, the only station you need with full 24-hour-a-day programming. And of course, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, we'll see you back here with more after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back to you. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, as we mentioned earlier, the earnings started, and of course, JP Morgan's earnings were a beat. I don't know how they'll interpret it over time, but they did. They were expecting to earn $2.29, and they actually got $2.37. So, you know, the stock reacted, you know, somewhat positively off of that. But is this the thirst in the chase for yield? Or is this really mean something? And it's always an interesting question as to where we stand within the economy. And is it, you know, we have still a problem that you can't, there is no place to go to put your money, you know, to get any type of return other than the stock market. So is this just a reaction? And what does the future hold for interest rates and the future hold for the economy? I mean, you can obviously say that we've had a massive bull market for 9 years. You know, I still look at it with a substantial lack of growth. Now, I keep hearing how good the corporations are doing, and, you know, I'm sure they're not doing poorly. But at the end of the day, we need the people to do well, not just the corporations. And you know, as we talked about this week quite a bit, was the grandiose 8 cents an hour that we saw in wage increase. And of course, that doesn't get you too far, especially with rising oil prices, rising gasoline prices at the pump. You know, the inflation that we supposedly don't have, but we keep paying more for goods and services, seems to be somewhat problematic from my views. But, you know, again, I can't say that there isn't going to be, you know, a resolution. But, you know, again, I think that, you know, what the markets themselves need and what we're looking to see is, you know, some sort of, you know, real corrective adjustments. But really, the adjustments have to come within the system in which we work under. You know, I think when you look at, you know, what's going on, and you listen to, you know, like Nancy Pelosi, who is talking out of, as usual, both sides of her mouth, and hopefully her facelift won't fall. But, you know, you listen to, you know, Paul Ryan, who's retiring, and you know, that just shows you how bad the system is, and how much we really need to have some adjustments. I mean, it's even the same thing as bringing in, you know, Mark Zuckerberg into a national, you know, before the House and before the Senate. Now, I'm not saying that they should not question him, but I don't think it needs to be a national spectacle to take, you know, hours and hours, especially when the people questioning have no idea what the hell they're asking about anyways. And I don't know either. I wouldn't know what to ask. But it's clear that Facebook is a monopoly. It's clear, in my opinion, that Zuckerberg wants to have some regulation, and only because it benefits them in the long run. It's clear that there has to be something done. But do we want to get into the letting the government get involved? And I think that always is a challenge and a problem. You know, from that perspective, I mean, you know, we don't need government involvement. You know, it's the old Ronald Reagan line, you know, I'm from the government and I'm here to help, and you should run and hide and go the other way. Because, again, they don't ever bring anything good to us. Anytime they show up, there's can only be a problem. And I think we're seeing that work out even throughout the government today, and I don't think it's ever been quite so evident because of who the president is. You know, because, you know, President Trump is not a, you know, the one of the, you know, old established guys and gals. So he is simply, you know, like you and me, basically. And trying to do the right thing. And I think you've never seen so much where all of a sudden, you know, you're seeing some of these agencies squawk. And of course, even his own party has kind of fought against him, you know, just for those reasons, because they don't want the change that he's trying to bring. You know, and I think that is always one of the issues that we have to look at, you know, from a regulatory standpoint to a political standpoint to all those things in between. And if we don't, you know, if you're happy with the way things have always been, which it's hard to imagine anybody could be happy with the way things have always been, because we've really gone backwards and continue to mortgage our future. We continue to mortgage our children's future and our grandchildren's future because we let so much of this crap go by. And I don't see why we would want to allow the debt structure. You know, again, I always just compare it back to you and me. You know, we can't live like that. Why should the government be able to live like that? I mean, you've got a situation going on in Illinois right now, in Harvey, Illinois, okay, where they can't make their pension demands, okay? The pension is underfunded, which we already knew. We've talked about that. But now they're firing people so because they can't afford to pay the pension. Now, you think that is the right way to do things? Do we think that that is acceptable? I mean, I can't fathom that we, as Americans, would want to see these, first of all, losing our, you know, fire and police, okay? But, you know, is it not the responsibility of the government to have kept these pensions funded? I mean, the employees, they paid in their share. Okay, this is very much like the teacher's pension. I mean, this is the problem. Okay, this is when you continue to try to kick the can down the road. You know, that's why I have so many issues with this, because you cannot continue to kick the can down the road. At some point, you got to bite the bullet. And this is the problems I think we're starting to see right here. And this is just one of many that I think you're going to see going forward. Again, there's underfunded pensions everywhere. And, you know, most of these state offices and governments are in trouble. And you're going to see what's going to happen to the poor people that were depending on those pensions. You know, that is something that I think is been caught in the misstep here, is what do those people do? How do they get out of it? And where are they going to go? Okay. You know, you're 65 or 67 or whatever age you are, and you're trying to, you know, retire, and you're counting on that pension, and that pension isn't there. Now, you know, what is going to happen? And of course, the greatest collapsing pension of all is, of course, Social Security. What's going to happen there? Does that mean that we continue to mortgage our future because of the idiocy and the lack of understanding of how an economy works from our politicians that continue to push things aside? When it was very clear years ago on what we needed to do. And it's amazing how nobody cares that if we have a balanced budget or a non-balanced budget. I find that fascinating that nobody cares. I find that fascinating that we just continue to not worry about it, to live for today and not worry about tomorrow and not worry about our children, our grandchildren. And, you know, if you live long enough, maybe yourself. You know, I think there's a lot of issues that need to be rectified down here. And I think that's one of the big problems. And hopefully at some point it will straighten itself out. I can't say that it will, but it would certainly be nice to see that. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And I want to remind you about our high school investing program. We continue to try to grow, and right now in 450 high schools, which we knew we give a free curriculum and education program. And you can check it out yourself at highschoolinvesting.com. And if you'd like to help us out, you can go to Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And that would be nice if you want to. In the meantime, don't forget to download The Bubba Show every single day at libertytalk.fm. Certainly you can, we've got programming 24 hours a day, and it's certainly great. And you can also get the Sporting Edge there as well. In the meantime, we're going to stop out here for a break, and we'll be back with more of The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back to you. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's Friday. It's Friday the 13th. Oh my God, I'm scared. I'm so afraid. In the meantime, so we've seen this week a little recovery in the old cryptocurrency world. Little Bitcoin got back over 8,000. And of course, what else do we see? We see the continuation of the SEC and everybody else wanting to continue to try to regulate and get involved in these things. And why do they want to get involved? Well, because they want to get their share, which, you know, again, this is what everybody is trying to avoid. Okay, if you understand what's going on and you understand about the central banking system and about decentralizing, well, we see it as a chance for freedom. Okay. You know, there's the cryptocurrency world is for real. And you have a lot of interference of people trying to convince you that it's not for real. And I think that is something that, you know, we have to, you know, understand about what's going on with these things. But you know that there are certain economies and certain countries that are already adopting cryptocurrency as their currency. I think that, you know, you have to, you know, understand, you know, how it works. And it is a decentralized currency, which means that the government cannot devalue it at their own time because of the way that it works. It is simply, you know, driven by free markets. But I think that there's, you know, a lot of people that, you know, are obviously talking it down. And but if you look who's talking it down, now I don't own much of any of it. So, again, this is not for me. I wished I would have gotten in earlier, but that I can't help that part of it. But I think that, you know, you see what is going on and what the process behind it is, and that is unregulated exchanges, okay, that, you know, that typically, you know, the free market, and that's what we're missing now in our exchanges is true free markets that are not manipulated by a central banking system, because the central banking system continues to manipulate the currency, our currency, because they have to continue to account for all the overspending and the lack of, you know, their lousy policies. All right. So, you know, I think that when you look at it, you know, you see that, you know, we had a huge rally. We had a huge sell off. And it looks to me like the cryptos have now bottomed and should start to move their way back up again. Now, again, I wouldn't expect them to go straight up. And of course, those of you who listen to me know that I don't like those moves when they just spike them straight up, because that just means that you caught some people short. But I think that, you know, when we're watching, you know, the benefits and what could happen here. And I think when we look at the actual model, you know, isn't it nice to be able to trade, you know, something 24 hours a day that is truly just driven on a price discovery model? Okay. You know, again, it's not like, you know, we have intervention. If I want to buy the Bitcoin at $9,000, I can buy it at $9,000 but I have to find a seller. And that is the true price discovery model. And I think that when we look at, you know, the acceptance of the Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies around the world, and I think you could see it in Thursday's market, you know, all of the Bitcoin related stocks, the true related Bitcoin stocks, but Overstock, which we've talked about, Overstock was up pretty big. It was up about 10% on Thursday. You know, so that's just showing you. Mara is another one that was up about 10%. You know, Grow was another one that was up about 10%. So I'm not saying that, you know, that you that there's an issue, okay, with those going up. I'm saying to you that, you know, they directly correlate, which tells you that there's probably a little bit of action there. And you can probably, you know, understand that there are real. Again, you look around and you look at some of the things you can do online, and a lot of them prefer cryptocurrencies, and you actually get some better pricing because of them. Now, I'm just saying that I think that the crypto world is a real world, and, you know, I don't, obviously there's 2100 or whatever there is of these cryptocurrencies. They're not all going to be alive, and some of them are phony, and hopefully they will be able to, you know, crack down on the crooks. But they can't even crack down on the crooks in the securities business. You know, we forget that every day there's some scam going on with either penny stocks or something ridiculous, but yet they're worried about the Bitcoin. And there's these boiler rooms that are around all day long that are supposedly operating under legal. I mean, you've all seen the movie, well, probably not all, but, you know, The Wolf of Wall Street. I mean, again, Stratton Oakmont, the boiler room, you know, you don't think that goes on every day, you know, and this is one of the problems that that bothers me, that they're so dead set against something that I think is legitimate versus, you know, something that they're glomming on and trying to take away. Now, look, I don't believe anybody should put all of their money into cryptocurrency. I think that, you know, like any other investment, you know, 3 to 5% just in case. Because what if I am wrong? What if it does collapse? What if it is the next tulip mania bubble? You know, I don't know what it is. But to me, it looks like, based on the technology, based on the acceptance, based on the way that it's been able to, you know, withstand, that it looks to be like it's going to be real. It looks like it's going to be able to hold on. And it looks like it's got some pretty general acceptance. So, and certainly the technology is being developed. And my thinking is that the banks and the Fed and the government are concerned because it cuts into their potential tax revenue because they can't track it as well. And I think that that's a fallacy. I think it's certainly, you know, from my understanding, the blockchain is transparent and you can account for just about everything. And so, you know, I think that, you know, we continue to, you know, watch it. But you can see there's many places around that are already, you know, using the blockchain technology. And there's many people that are using the cryptocurrencies. And, of course, the Ripple, which is possibly can replace the SWIFT system, is another item that, again, I think we're growing up through technology. And I think that this is a natural progression. I think that, you know, the system, the methods, the thought process behind it is to eliminate, you know, the Federal Reserve. And certainly, you know, talk to Ron Paul. He'd like to eliminate the Federal Reserve and the Fed. But I mean, talk to me. I think the Fed is worthless. Okay. I don't think they know what the hell they're doing. And I certainly could be happy and glad if they'd be gone. And that is always something that we have to understand from a, you know, from a living standpoint. But in the meantime, you have to make sure that you understand it before you do everything. And like any other investment, you would never want to put your whole life at stake for one item like the cryptocurrency. I just think they're real. I think they're going to be around. And I think they're probably a fairly decent investment. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, I want to wish everybody a very nice, great weekend. And always glad to have you part of the show. And I hope you had a great week. In the meantime, don't forget to download the show every day at libertytalk.fm. And over the weekend, you can download The Sporting Edge with Xander. Everybody have a great weekend. As always, thank you so much for being a part of the show. This is Todd Bubba Horowitz. The Bubba Show. We'll see you on Monday, everybody. Have a great weekend. Take care, everybody. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.